Let's just pray briefly. Father, I want to thank you first of all for every person that you've brought through those doors this morning. It would have been easy for some to have stayed away because of the rain, but I'm glad, Lord, that they persevered and that they came. I thank you for those who gave of themselves their time and their talents to lead worship this morning. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for giving Brian another year. We pray you'll give him many more years. We pray you'll keep him in good health, Lord. You'll protect him from sickness and disease, from accident, from injury, from viruses, from infections. We pray, Lord, every day of his life, you'll deliver him from the evil one. We pray you'll continue to bless him and Jan and the boys and the in-laws, the children. May the blessing of God be upon this family, we pray. And now, Father, we ask your blessing upon your word. Thank you for your word. Your word is life-changing for those who believe it and apply it. And I pray that you'll help me as your servant this morning to speak clearly, to speak truthfully, not to add to, not to take away. Holy Spirit, will you come, please, and will you bless your word and help us to understand. And those listening by means of recording, may each person hear you speaking clearly. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning is "The Past is the Past. Forget It." The past is the past. Forget it. Have you got it? The past is the past. Forget it. And I struggled with the message in terms of trying to get all that information that I felt God was giving me and to try and pack it into one message. So I'm not going to force myself to do that. So if you like, this is part one of a much longer message, a much longer study. I want to get into what we call baggage. Just recently there was a problem at Gatwick, wasn't it? Where people came and their bags hadn't arrived. There was a problem with baggage handlers. And so I'm working on another part of this message, which I might well call baggage. Forget it. But it won't be the baggage in terms of suitcases, you understand, and hold-alls. It will be the baggage that people carry throughout their life. Very seriously abused as children. Very sad, very tragic. Abused by a partner. Abused by a minister. God forgive them. Verbal abuse. Mental abuse. Psychological abuse. Domestic violence. Betrayed. Women deserted by husbands who has spotted a young girl that he's fancied and he just forgets about her and the family. And you say, Pastor Jim, how could you rise up and get over that and move on? Is it possible? The good news is it is. And so when I come to that message about baggage, forget it, I will be very much in prayer that the Lord will guide me so that I'll cover everything sensitively and truthfully and that the results of the message will be people being set free. Amen? Amen. Very, very important. Very important. So, the past is the past. Forget it. Every one of us has had the same problem if you look back in our history, look back in our past. Every one of us, regardless of color, age, background, culture, every one of us has had the same problem. What problem is that? It's the problem of sin, S-I-N. What is sin? Well, give you some ideas. Sin is going our own way instead of God's way. Sin is living to please ourselves. In other words, the attitude is, it's my life, I can do what I want with it. Living to please ourselves instead of living to please God. Sin is doing what's right in our own eyes instead of doing what's right in God's eyes. Sin is the breaking of God's 10 commandments. Do I believe in those? Yes. Sin is the breaking of God's 10 commandments. Sin is living a lifestyle that is contrary to the word of God. Now in James chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says this. Whoever will keep the whole law, that's the law of God. Whoever will keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, that person is guilty of all. In other words, they're a lawbreaker. Romans 10 and verse 3, the apostle Paul, he says this. There is none righteous. There's no one righteous. No, not one. And then in Romans 3 and 23, the same apostle Paul says, all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Everyone, every person, every man, woman, boy and girl has failed to meet the standard that God requires. And in Romans 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, by one man, who was that? That was Adam. By one man, Adam allowed sin to enter into his life and into the world. By one man, sin entered into the world and death came as a result of sin. That's spiritual death. People became separated from God. Alive physically, but dead spiritually. And the Bible says, because by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for the truth is, all have sinned. Then in Romans 5 and verse 19, still with the Apostle Paul, he says, by one man's disobedience, who was that? That was Adam. By one man's disobedience, notice, many were made sinners. But there's hope this morning. When you're listening to this message, whatever time of the day it is, there is hope. Because Paul continues. He says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, who was that? That was Jesus. By the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. This morning, there are two groups of people here. Listening to this message, by means of recording, there are two groups of people who will listen to this message. There are those who are in Adam, and there are those who are in Christ. Precious friends, listening here in the sanctuary this morning, you are either in Adam or in Christ. Let me explain. If you are in Adam, then you will be disobedient to God's word. Your idea will be, forget it. Don't tell me what God says. I'm not interested. My life. I live to please me. I'm not interested in what God says. Forget it. I'll just move this because I can't see my lovely brother Neil. That's better. There you are. Don't try and tell me what to do. So if you're in Adam, you'll be disobedient to God's word. Just like Adam was. If you're in Adam, you will have already suffered the same consequences that Adam suffered. You'll be spiritually dead. That's why you and I can be trying to share our faith or our belief in Jesus and in God. And it just goes over the top of people's heads. You see, the Bible says when a person doesn't know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, then they're spiritually dead. And if they're spiritually dead, they can't hear you. Not with their spirits. Doesn't make sense to them what we say. They can't see it. We think, well, how can they fail to understand? The Bible says, for instance, that men have only got to look up into the skies and look at God's handiwork, the stars, the moon. Look at the handiwork of God, the hills, the rivers, all of that. And the Bible says that God's handiwork is displayed for everybody to see. But people say, oh no, I don't believe that. So they would rather believe that somehow there was a big bang. And from the big bang, everything happened. I want to know who made the big bang. And coming from Northern Ireland, I'm familiar with big bangs. And I've never known a big bang yet to put something together that was nice. I've seen buildings demolished. I've had friends blown to pieces. One of the saddest things, my little daughter, 5 years of age she was, came home crying. She said, "Daddy, why did they blow Andy up?" Andy was a Sunday school teacher. He was a policeman as well, and he was in guard duty at the entrance to Portadown in County Armagh. The IRA planted a bomb and blew him to pieces. And I had to hug her and console her. So that's my experience of big bangs. They're not very nice. But the Bible says how easy it is to believe it. The Bible says, in the beginning, right at the start of everything, there was God. Start from there, the Bible says. In the beginning, God, and God created. That's where I started from. That's where I start from. And I encourage you to do the same. Many people have come to God and they've said, "Oh, the vicar or the preacher, he said that you made everything. Okay, God, will you show yourself to me? Will you prove yourself to me?" And he will, if you're sincere. Bible says if you diligently seek God with all your heart, he'll show up. He'll say, "Here I am." He will prove himself to you. I promise you. So if you're in Adam, you'll already have suffered the consequences that Adam suffered. You'll be spiritually dead towards God. See, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages or the payoff or the result of sin. What is it? It's death. But the good news is there's hope. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but follow that. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. The gift of God. It's a gift. You don't have to earn it. Be good enough for it. Say your prayers enough. Read your Bible enough. Give enough money to the poor. Help enough old ladies across the road, whether they want to go across or not. But a lot of people will tell you, "Oh, I do this and I do that and I do something else. I. It's all about me." No, it's not. In fact, being serious, the Bible says for those people who have never encountered Jesus, Neil talked about bumping into Jesus. Those people who have never bumped into Jesus, the Bible says all the things they do that they think are so righteous, what does God think of them? He says they're filthy rags. Ugh. You see? It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He took our place. He was perfect. He didn't die because he had sinned. He died because of your sin and mine. He took your place. He took my place. That's why we love him. That's why I'm not ashamed, as the hymn says. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. You can call me what you like. Doesn't make any difference. Jesus changed my life. 1959, standing at a bar, having tried to end it all because of depression. Loss of dad, loss of fiancé, chased from my home as a child. Failed to take my life. Standing at the bar thinking to myself, "Jim, you're so stupid. Back in the barracks you have a very powerful rifle. You also have some live ammunition." We all had one or two rounds. I was going to finish my drink and go back. End it all. But I bumped into Jesus through a young man coming into the bar. And I'll tell you the full story at the end of August when I do the gospel concert. But my life changed. As he shared the good news of Christ, as he shared, and he gave me hope. God could heal my broken heart. God could dry my tears. This was wonderful. And I thank God I ended up praying with him in an empty church in Aldershot in Hampshire. 10th of April, 1959, 11 o'clock, in the days when you could leave the church doors open and they wouldn't come and nick the silver. You see, and that can happen to anyone. Friend, you may not remember everything I say, but please, would you remember this? The gift of God. God's got a gift for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. The gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. Brian hasn't opened his birthday gift yet. I'm not suggesting he does, but when you get a gift, you open it. You tear the paper off. You want to see what's inside. And you, oh, I hope he says that. But you look inside. He says, oh. And what do you normally do then if the person's around? You say, oh, thank you so much. You shouldn't have. How offended we would be if the person said, oh, how much do I owe you? But somehow many people go through their life like that. Oh, God, I've got to pray. I've got to fast. I've got to go on pilgrimages. Some people, I'm not mocking them. Oh, I've got to cut myself. I've got to starve myself for 40 days or 20 days or 10 days. I'm not mocking anyone at all. But God says, look, I've got a gift for you. My gift is free. Totally paid for by Jesus, my son. What is the gift? The gift is my son. And you take my son. You believe in my son. You receive my son. And as many as receive my son, to them I'll give the power to become my children. How easy is that? Ephesians 2 verse 4. Thank you, Anya, for your help with the projector. Ephesians 2 verse 4, the Bible says, God who is rich in mercy, I'm glad about that. He's got enough for everybody. God who's rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Notice, even when we were dead spiritually, even when we were dead in sins, he has made alive. How? He's made us alive with Christ. By grace are you saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8, the Apostle Paul again, he says, for by grace you are saved. Saved? Made right with God. Forgiven for all your sin, all your failure, all your mistakes. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Where do I get that? That faith, says Paul, it's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Isn't God generous? Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Oh, I pray more often than you do. I fast more than you do. I go to church more than you do. I read my Bible more than you do. I give more to the poor than you do. It's all about you. No, it's not. Not about what you and you do. It's about what Jesus did. Someone put it like this, looking at that verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Finish it? In Christ alone. Let me say something very important. If you've placed your faith in Christ as your Savior and Lord, something wonderful and amazing has happened. What is it? You have been transferred out of Adam and into Christ. Did I hear a hallelujah, or was I imagining it? Isn't that good news this morning? I say it again. If you have ever placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then you've been transferred out of Adam and into Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's better. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Apostle Paul says, if any man, that's good news. He doesn't talk about color, class, creed, age. Can be a child, can be a teenager, adolescent, middle age, old age, black, white, male, female, Doesn't matter. Paul says, if any man. If any man be in Christ. What is he? Hello? He's a new creation. How about that? That's why I didn't stagger to the platform this morning like I would have done back to the barracks before I met Jesus. That's why I don't have to keep stopping to go because my lungs were getting affected because of smoking. That's why the other day when those men came at 5 o'clock and I'd left home at about 7:30 to get here in time, why I didn't say, where do you... I don't use that language for a start. But probably they expected it because they did look a bit sheepish. Probably thought, oh, how do we tell him? It's true. One of the problems that I have, brothers and sisters, friends this morning, and friend listening to this recording, one of the great problems I have is the people who call themselves Christians, but they live like the devil. They're still getting drunk, their language is foul, they're not being faithful to their wife, they're not looking after their family. I think to myself, has that person ever bumped into Jesus? Because as I read the Bible, if you bump into Jesus and you come to know him as Savior and Lord, you're under new management now, and everything is different. Honestly, I'm not condemning anybody, you know. It's about, often people, if you're out on the street, you're talking to people, oh, I'm Jim, I'm from Wellspring Pentecostal Church. Oh, bunch of hypocrites. I'm tempted to say, we've got room for one more. But I wouldn't be so rude, because I'm only a little fella. I mean, Neil might get away with that, or some others of you, but not me. But I'm tempted when they say, church is full of hypocrites. Say, well, there's always room for one more. I'm sure some people would go. And I would need our colleagues at the back there who have joined us this morning. Welcome. But hold on to that, will you? Try and encourage people that if they say they're a Christian, then they should live like a Christian. Would you agree? You know, here's the handbook. They live by this. They live by the handbook. David the psalmist said, thy word, God, he said, it's a lamp to my feet, it's a light to my path. God said to Joshua, after Moses had died, Joshua was called to take over and lead the children of Israel on into the promised land. And God said to Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you, rise up and lead my people into the promised land. And he says, here's your secret of success. My word. Read it, meditate in it, do what it says, speak it and speak in line with it, and you'll have great success. How about that? I think even the baby agrees. She says, if he can shout, so can I. Back to the verse. Think about it. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, regardless of age, color, class, creed, regardless of what they've been into, some are into drugs, violence, crime, immorality. Back in Ireland, where I come from, so many people who were in the IRA and in other armed groups. And then they met Jesus. Some of them did time in Longkesh and other prisons. They met Jesus. And the point I'm making is this. It really does not matter what we've done as far as God is concerned. Does he like murder? No. Does he like the bombs? No. What I'm saying is this. When we come to God and we say, God, oh, how could I have done that? I'm sorry. Forgive me. God doesn't say, forgive you. Let me show you what you've done. God doesn't do that. Why not? Because his son has already died and paid the price. Horrible death on the cross. They weren't nice to Jesus. If any man be in Christ, hold on to this. Because maybe you need to hear this. Maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to experience this. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl be in Christ, is related to Christ, knows Christ, follows him, serves him, loves him, is in a relationship with him by faith, then if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. What's the rest of that verse? Old things passed away. And what about other things? And all things have become new. How about that? That's what's happened to Neil and Brian and others in the meeting. And it can happen to you. To the best of my ability, as long as I live, I will seek to be genuine, seek to be sincere. So that when people look at me and look at my life and listen to me, I will be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's the desire of my heart, that I'll not say anything, do anything, or have an attitude that will turn anybody away or be a cause of them stumbling and, oh, if that's Christianity, oh, if that's the church, oh, forget it. Because there's a song, some of you young people remember, everybody, the song says, everybody needs the Lord. They do. Everybody. Because all have sinned, all have come short. And God says, I've got the answer to your need. The answer to your need is faith in my Son. And I'll change your life by the power of my Holy Spirit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. According to Ezekiel 36, God says, I'll give you a new heart. Not the pump. A new heart, a new mindset. I'll give you a new nature. And I'll put my Spirit, that can't be bad. Imagine the Spirit of God in us. Wow. Old things passed away. After a person is born again, a lot of people don't like that word, born again. I suppose you go to the church of the born again. See, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I needed to be born again because the life I had was miserable. I was depressive. I wanted to kill myself. I was angry. I was hurting. I had no hope. I didn't want to continue with that life. And yes, I was born again when I knelt in that empty church and I said, Lord, I'm sorry I tried to take my life. Forgive me. And if you can dry my, if you can heal my broken heart and dry my tears and give me hope, I'll go to the nations of the world and I'll tell them of the hope you gave me. And God must have thought to himself, yes, I've got him. Because that's exactly what happened. And a few years ago, you know, I was on Revelation television. And I remember sitting in the studio one morning with a live program. And the thought came to me. I looked at these cameras. They were everywhere. There were five of them. You had to be careful how you moved. Because they were there. And the lights would pop on. You know, that's the one to look at. That's the one. And you couldn't go. You had to go sort of. But I said to the fellow presenter, I said, you know something, Gordon, what I've just realized? That night in Aldershot when I prayed, oh God, if you can heal my broken heart, dry my tears, give me hope, I'll go to the nations of the world. I said, right now, what am I doing? All these cameras going out across the world by satellite and by internet. So God took me at my word. He made it possible. Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever made a promise to God? It's easy, isn't it? You know, we're in trouble. Oh, God, help me, please. Oh, God, if you will, I will. Tell me, he did, but did you? It's worth asking, isn't it? Don't you think? See, the Bible talks about not making vows carelessly. Friends, I meant that. I meant that with all my heart. Oh, God, if you will, I will. I'm not trying to be clever or think, hey, look at me, how spiritual I am. That's not the point. If you think that, you've missed it. What I am saying is, if you've ever been in a tight spot and you said, oh, God, if you will, I will, Have you kept your part of it? You say, but Jim, it's not possible now. Well, tell him. Oh God, you know that I would if I could, but because of, I can't. Is there anything else I can do? And I happen to believe that God that I've served all these years since I was 18 years of age, He's a loving God, He's a fair God, and He does everything right. And He understands. And like the prodigal son, if you know the story in Luke's Gospel chapter 15, wasted his inheritance, came back smelling like a pig because he'd been working with the pigs. And when he came back, the father never gave him a lecture. The father ran to him. Point one, the father shouldn't have run. That was undignified, but the father forgot about dignity. Because to run, the father would have had to lift up his robe. And it was against culture for a man to show his bare legs. The father forgot all about that. And as I told you a few months ago, the father ran. Why? Because the father wanted to get to his son and hug him and kiss him and say, son, you're back. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. He wanted to get to his son before the legalists got there. Because the law was, because of what the son had done, the son should have been humiliated in front of everybody. How dare you come home, you? We cut you off. You're no longer part of this family, part of this community. Get out of here. But when the father ran and showed his love for his son, they were all speechless. Bit like the men who brought the woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. And there they stood in their beards and their phylacteries, you know, the little scriptures up on their forehead and all of that, all the regalia, all the pomp, a pot belly sticking out. Excuse me. And they thought they had him because they're always trying to catch Jesus out. And they said, Rabbi, the law says, she should be stoned because we caught her in the act of adultery. I have a question. Where was the man? Could it have been one of them? Just a thought. Because, yes, it was wrong to commit adultery, but the man was just as guilty. Where was he? However, moving right along, Jesus was so clever. Oh, Lord, help me to be clever like him. Jesus said, okay, the law does say that the adulteress should be stoned to death. Whichever one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And all you could hear was thud, 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 thud as they dropped the stones. And they all slunk away from the youngest to the oldest. And there's just Jesus and the woman now. And he said to her, where are your accusers now? And I'm sure she must have said it with tears running down her cheeks. She's just been spared from death. And she said, no, no man, Lord. What did he say? Well, you wait till I tell you. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's the God that I serve. So you made a vow. You haven't kept it. The God that you came to know all those years ago, he's reasonable, he's fair. Talk to him. Will you? Yes, we will. If any man be in Christ. My time has almost gone, so I'll give you a scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Apostle Paul, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. I don't know if you have that one, but the King James is the best translation of the Bible. I use other translations just to help sometimes, to help people to understand it more clearly. Paul says, do you not know, don't you realize that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? And then he gives a long list. He says, don't be deceived, don't be misled. Now, I emphasize this is what God's word says. It's nothing to do with Jim Patterson. I'm reading it. I'm quoting it. It's readily available for anyone to read. So let's hear what Paul says. Remember, he's talking about those who would not inherit, not have a part in the kingdom of heaven. They wouldn't get into heaven. He says, who will be excluded? He says the impure, the immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, those who participate in homosexuality, cheats, swindlers, thieves, greedy graspers, drunkards, foul-mouthed, people who are always arguing and fighting, slanderers, extortioners, robbers. Paul says they'll not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. Now, if we stop there, that is a most miserable set of verses. Because you would end up thinking, well, who can get in then? But the good news is, verse 11, Paul says, writing to the Corinthians, such were, past tense, such were some of you. But you're washed. You're washed clean. How? You know something the Bible says about the Bible? This word, when we read it, meditate on it, apply it to our lives, it has a washing effect on us. Did you know that? It washes us. And then for those who understand the word of God, where it talks about the blood of Jesus and those who have faith in the blood of Jesus, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all iniquity. How is that possible? Well, our sin, says the Bible, was laid upon Jesus. He who had no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in and through him. There's the divine exchange. So Paul says, such were, W-E-R-E, such were some of you, but you're washed. You're clean. You're purified. How? By the complete atonement for sin. And you're made free from the guilt of sin. And you were set apart. You were hallowed. You were justified, pronounced righteous. How? By trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. Let me say this, very important. If you are in Christ this morning, you know him as your Savior, you know him as your Lord. And do you realize you are free from the power and the penalty of sin? You have been totally forgiven. How about that? Are you aware of that? Amen. I mean, that's enough to make you shout and holler. And in Uganda, that when Ruth and I were there, the ladies, when they were excited, they used to go, yay, 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 yay. And I learned to do it, and they looked at me, and because I was a foreign visitor, I was known as Mazungu. And they would go. Men didn't normally do that, but I'd heard it so much. When we would drive into one of the churches in the villages way out in the bush, they would see our vehicle coming, and you would hear them, and they'd run towards the vehicle, and all round the vehicle, and they were all going, hey, 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 hey. Well, something like that. Margaret will tell you how to do it. She's from Uganda. Give me about 5-6 minutes and I'm through. And thank you, Wilson, for being at the recorder again today. He stood there all last Sunday and he stood there again today. Isn't it lovely when people come to the church and they just say, can I help? It's wonderful. You will get paid, but it'll be after the rapture. The benefits are out of this world. Let me show you something. God no longer has a record of your past. Isn't that good news? How do I know? The Bible. Colossians 2 verse 13. Listen to this. God has forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. God, listen to this. God has wiped out the handwriting of requirements of the law that was against you because you've broken it. Listen to this. And he has taken it out of the way. What did he do with it? Nailed it to the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, do you know the inscription they could have put across that? Paid in full. How about that? Those of us who work with computers, we know what it's like to delete, to wipe a hard drive, not something I would advise you to do if you don't really want to. And they tell me, the experts, that even if I do accidentally wipe my hard drive clean on my computer, the experts can get it all back. But I'll tell you something. When God wipes the hard drive of your life clean, that's it. It's never coming back. He's never going to bring it up. Hallelujah! Amen. I could get excited if I had time. I love some of the old hymns. How about this one? My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Say it with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Doesn't that do you good? I mean, a song like that reaches the parts that many modern songs can't reach. Here's something I read about a month or so ago. The things that you and I can't forget, God can't remember. How about that? I like that. Say it again, because it's something you could write down, put it in your fridge. Ask the wife first, though. The things that you and I can't forget, God can't remember. Let me prove it to you. Hebrews 8, verse 12, Hebrews 10, verse 17. You have a choice there, aren't you? God says, their sins, that includes you, their sins, their iniquities, I will remember no more. People are not like that. You have an argument with someone, and they say, and I remember it was back in 1984, I remember it well. I thought you'd forgiven me for that. But there it is. I'm glad God's not like that. I'm so glad God will not say, oh, here's a record of Jim's life. Oof. Aren't you glad he's not going to show it? Your life? He'll never do that. Here's a lovely verse, Romans 8, verse 1. Because of what Christ has done for us when he died on the cross, pay the penalty for our sin. Because God says when we come to him in faith, faith in his son, faith in the cross, faith in the precious blood, faith in Christ's death and resurrection, God says, I tell you what, I'll never remember your sins anymore. And as a result of what Christ has done and your faith in him, Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. How about that? To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit. Notice verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You're looking at a free man this morning. Here's something else I read years ago. No, I didn't read it. I heard a friend of mine say it. Maybe he read it somewhere. But I wished when I heard it, I had thought of this. Here's the statement. In Christ, I no longer have a past. I only have a future. How about that? Isn't that good news? in Christ. I no longer have a past. I only have a future. I'm like an aeroplane this morning. I'm about to land. And I'm not going to go around the airport 4 or 5 times. I have no finalies. I just want to share this scripture with you. It's Isaiah 43, verse 16. Listen carefully to what God is saying to us this morning as individuals and as a church, and to you, my friend, listening to this recording. I'm going to quote from the New Living Translation, only because it makes it very, very plain to those that are new in the faith and those who are not yet in faith. Listen to this. Here's hope this morning. God says, I am the Lord who watched while the Big Bang created the world.
No.
I am the Lord which maketh a way. And there's someone listening to me right now, and you're probably thinking, dear God, how am I going to get through this? Don Moen sang this morning on video. Don Moen has a song. If you're on the internet, I encourage you to try and find it on YouTube. The song says, God will make a way. He will. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters. He's talking now about the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I call forth the mighty army of Egypt and all its chariots and horses. And then I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives were snuffed out like a smoldering candlewick. Here it is, verse 18. Title of the message, the past, forget it. Here it is. God says, forget all that. That's why I've chosen the New Living Translation. Forget all that. I love this. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. With respect, folks have come to me, said, oh, I remember the days. They didn't talk like that. They said, I remember the days when you could hardly get a seat in Wellspring. It'll happen again.
Amen.
Not because I'm here, but because he's still alive. God wants his church full. God wants us all to have a big vision. This would make a good youth club. This hall would make a great Sunday school, as it once was. And God will give us a bigger building in his time. Oh, I remember. When I remember. God says, forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. How about that? Makes me want to go, yay, yay, yay. I won't. I won't embarrass myself. Or Margaret. God says, forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Listen, for I am about to do something new. See, God says, I've already begun. Do you see it? I mean, just aside for a second or two, I see God doing something new here. The new people that are coming, the lives that have been changed. People's lives have been changed just sitting in their seats. Marvelous. I won't mention names because of time, and I might forget someone. But you look around, even a group like this, 24, 25 of us this morning, last Sunday nearly 50. You look around at the testimonies that are here, the changed lives. I'm so glad Neil bumped into Jesus before he bumped into me. Otherwise, I'd probably be history. I mean, he was tough. But then he met Jesus, didn't he, brother? I would have been afraid to meet him. He was a rough guy. I would have needed my colleagues from the back there in the hall if I was going to meet him. But listen quickly. God says, I'm about to do something new. Do you see it? I've already begun. Here it is. I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. Okay, so this is God talking to his people of way back then, but the principle is that God will make a way. And if someone's life right now is dry and barren, unproductive, God says, look, I'll make a pathway through this wilderness for you. Look at this. I'll create rivers. What's the name of the church? Well, spring. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. And then God says, even the animals, you can imagine in the desert, the well springs that come up and the animals are standing there, panting, looking for water, and suddenly they see it and they run and they almost fall in. And God says, the wild animals in the field will thank me. How about that? The jackals and the owls. They'll thank me for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland. Listen to this. With this, I better finish. I think my 6 minutes must be up. I will make rivers in the dry wasteland. Here it is. So that my chosen people can be refreshed. How about that? I hope you've been refreshed this morning by the word of God. And I'll take this message on in future days as the Lord leads and as the Lord guides. I end where I began. The past is the past. What are we to do with it?
Forget it.
Next time I pick this up, I will say, the future is fantastic. Believe it. That'll be part two when my boss says it's time to do it.